Aloha, everyone, and welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. This is Ashley Addisetti. James sends greetings to all of you. He's actually out of the country. He'll be back next weekend, and you'll get to hear the velvety tones of his voice on next weekend's show. But it's my honor to hold space with our two beautiful guests tonight and co-create beautiful frequencies of light and love and healing. Before I introduce our guests, I'd like just to make a few announcements. Those of you that touch in to the news know that there's a lot happening out in the 3D world. There is also some discussion that the revaluation is going to happen this weekend. And we'll hold space for that happening in divine timing, and James will speak of some of the things that are happening out in 3D world next weekend. But the guidance for this weekend's call is to hold the frequency of love and light and to create the reality that we know in our hearts is the truth of our home, the home being the connection to source. I do want to make a few announcements before I introduce our guests. It has been such an amazing couple of weeks here at Addisetti as we prepare the ranch for the summer season and welcoming all of you from the family that are drawn to come visit in person. I do want to, from my heart, send out huge gratitude to all of those volunteers who have already come out and helped with pulling weeds and picking up broken tree limbs. So thank you all. Your energy is here and you're connected with Addisetti and with each of us from the community. We do have two more volunteer weekends coming up, next weekend, April 20th, and the following weekend, April 27th. So if you'd like to come out, support the sanctuary, have some laughs, and put your hands in the dirt here, spend some time with James putting in new sewer lines, there's a way to connect, and that's all on the website, privateinvitationeastetti.com. This coming Wednesday, April 19th, I'll be doing the healing teleconference once again. Our topic for this coming Wednesday is remembering your limitless soul, understanding projections. We'll be opening for our first Camping Skywatch weekend, the weekend of May 11th. There have been some beautiful clear nights as we move a little bit later into spring. It's a glorious day here today at the ranch. So if you feel like coming out, please do register and come visit in person. We've moved the Addisetti Off the Grid Sustainability Expo to May 18th. That is the weekend that James will be at Contact in the Desert. And that information is being finalized and will be posted this coming week on the event website. On May 21st, I have the honor of being in Seattle doing the roadshow presentation. It currently is showing sold out because the room we had reserved is booked to capacity. We are looking for larger space as we do have people on a wait list. We'll send out a newsletter when that is finalized. Many of you ask how to learn more about James's teachings. The weekend of Memorial Day, May 26th, James will be presenting his foundational course, Self-Mastery and Making Contact. It's a really beautiful, intimate gathering, an opportunity to ask James questions in person. And even if you've been to the ranch before, sitting in the frequency is a very powerful gift to give yourselves. We still do have some work trade exchange opportunities for those of you that would like to come out to visit and would like to do a fifth dimensional exchange of work trade for part of your workshop. And finally, Michael Tellinger will be here the weekend of June 9th, sharing his most current information on Ubuntu and the One Small Town concept. That registration will be open by Monday. There will also be sound healing that weekend with Neil and Soul, and James will be doing a presentation on Sunday. And finally, our conference is the July 4th weekend. There has been a little bit of shift in the presenters as Source moves around the multidimensional chess pieces to bring in those individuals that are in alignment with the frequency and what's meant to happen here at that time. So again, The best way to know what's happening is to check out the website privateinvitationeseti.com or to keep an eye on the e-newsletters that come out. Without further ado, it is my honor to welcome our two guests tonight, Lori Anderson and John Bertoli. Lori is currently in Vancouver, Washington. I think John is in Colorado. He'll correct me after the introductions if he's on a different part of the planet. Multidimensionally, he'll let us know where he is too, but physically, he'll let me know. Many of you who have been part of the eSETI family are familiar with Lori Anderson for her role in holding heart space and assisting those of you that come out to visit the ranch. She is a mother, a public school teacher, and a very valued member of our eSETI family. And our nickname for her is the Kick-Ass Light Goddess. Her journey has always been that of a starseed, but it was unknown or not clear until very recently. With the assistance of many gifted people, Lori has come to clearly understand her purpose. Over the past year and a half, she has begun to better understand and clarify her empathic abilities. With ongoing practice, those gifts have expanded and new gifts are being remembered. When James and I introduced Lori to her main guide, Kaiha, this 14-foot, seventh-dimensional female lion being, in October of 2015, that started the ball rolling of an extraordinary remembering. And Lori now is blessed with many guides who she calls on daily for support, guidance, and healing. Tonight, you'll hear more of the story of how John and Lori met when Lori synchronistically answered the phone when he called eSETI. Their story of angelic connections and light language activations is one that is very worthy of being shared. During the 2015 conference at eSETI, Lori received a message. She was told by source that she had done well, and it is now time to show others what it looks like to love unconditionally. And many of you that have been honored with connecting with Lori know indeed how massive her heart is. Welcome, Lori. We'd also like to welcome in John. John Bertoli is a professional drummer, and multidimensionally, he's an awakened light language activator and intuitive. From an early age, he found himself highly sensitive to energies, both seen and unseen, and his many paranormal experiences throughout his life set him on a quest determined to find his truth. He has undergone a journey both outward and inward, culminating in a series of activations that have expanded his consciousness, psychic abilities, and soul remembrance. Through the use of sacred light language, John has the ability to activate and awaken soul connections with other star seeds. Many who feel these connections experience profound emotions, and it often has an epiphany-like effect, which can indeed be life-changing. Through these soul connections, John has been able to recall past life memories with astonishing details. He believes it's his divine purpose to connect and activate other star seeds, as well as encourage them to speak out and share their own divine gifts, in turn activating others. And holding that frequency that he does, John has created a YouTube channel called We Speak Unity Community, where he shares his divine gifts of light language and insights. John encourages others to share theirs, moving us all towards ascension. So without further ado, Lori and John, I welcome you both to the show.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you both with us. I'm excited for what's going to be co-created tonight. So Lori, why don't we begin at the beginning first? Do you want to share first about the connection when John first called the ranch?
Sure, absolutely. It was during the conference, so the 4th of July weekend last summer. And, you know, it's a busy weekend. There was over 100 people there, and it was my turn to sit at the desk and help people with whatever issues they had and also answer the phone. And it was actually fairly quiet. I think there was a gathering of some sort. So I was sitting at the desk, and it wasn't busy. And the phone rang, and this gentleman says, you know, my name's John, and I feel it. Basically, he said, I feel really weird about this, but I'm speaking this language that I don't really understand what it is. And I was told to call eSETI. And I said, okay, that's not weird. You realize where you're calling, but that's not weird at all. And I said, well, why don't you just speak it? Just start talking to me on the phone. Just do it. And my body, from head to toe, covered in shivers. Just unbelievable, right off the bat. So he finishes, and I'm giggling because I know that this really matters. And I said, well, you've called the right place. Give me your name and number. There's somebody here that can absolutely talk to you. I passed the phone number on to Solrita Antoria, who is a woman partnered with Peter Maxwell Slattery. They came from Australia. They were guest speakers last summer. And Sol called him, and that's where it all began.
And John, amazing. From your perspective, will you want to share what prompted you to pick up the phone and call eSETI?
It was actually, it's the one and only time it has happened to me during a meditation. I was kind of freaked out. I had been activated maybe a month or two earlier, and I started speaking this language fluently. And I was in the stage with my guides when I would ask a question. They would give me this very poetic question in return. And I was kind of like, will you please just give me a straight yes or no answer? And I said, I really need to speak with somebody who is in the physical form that knows about something like this. And it was an incredibly loud voice that said, call eSETI. And I was snapped out of the trance, just pow, just like that. And I had never called up to the ranch before, and so I just looked it up. I called, and of course, Lori answered the phone. And then it was only a few minutes later that Solretta called me back. And what was funny was I had just watched the video, eSETI Down Under, that Saul, Peter, and James had done. And I was so excited that somebody had called me back that when Solretta told me her name, it went right past me. And it was probably about 3 or 4 minutes into the conversation, I was like, wait a minute, what did you say your name was? And then I go, I know exactly who you are. And so we spoke, she asked me a few things about it, and I was able to confirm through guides and through Solretta's knowledge that the dialect I speak is ancient Pleiadian, one of the 7,000 dialects within that grouping. But we exchanged our speech, and it was amazing. It was so powerful. I was in tears, and I didn't realize the depth that light language, the depth of it, the whole implications of what was happening at that point. And the interesting thing was during that exchange, I really locked into the energies of Soretta, Peter, James, and interesting enough, I could hear Barry's laugh in the background, and it was really cool. And then the other thing after that was when everybody left, it was like, 2 weeks later or something like that, and everybody was kind of like the letdown. I got depressed along with everybody else. I had to understand that when they started releasing their videos, what they were feeling, that I was so still locked in with them, and I was empathically sharing all that kind of letdown. So it was pretty powerful, I must admit.
You mentioned, John, that about a month before the call, you were activated. So just briefly, what was your life like before that activation, and how would you describe that activation to our listeners?
Well, my life, I've always been wide awake, and I've seen things since I was a child, experienced things. I tried to bury it for a large part of my life, and it just got so prevalent I could not ignore it anymore. So I had always really decided I want to know the truth, and when I finally decided to really go inward, that's when I could connect with guides. And I really started speaking with individual guides and getting, like, names, what they look like, histories and everything around 2012. And so I really was in a period of time when I was meditating quite deeply, 3 to 4 hours a day, every day. It was wonderful. I was spirit allowed me to have that time, and I did some incredible growing then. And I was working out, exercising, and very often I'd go into somewhat of a trance when I exercise and create the mind-body link and the spiritual you know, wake up all the bodies. And I was listening to a video of Christine Day. It was just on YouTube, and she was speaking Pleiadian. And then she started toning. And I really think at this point, in retrospect, that the toning was really what activated me. Although the speech, after I was activated, I started immediately speaking this language incredibly fluent. And I couldn't tell what I was saying. It was all coming from the heart. It has nothing to do with intellect or ego. It bypasses that entirely. And I was responding to her. So when she would say a line, I would respond in a different dialect. But it was a call and answer. And my body was shaking, and every hair was standing up. And I was getting these incredible visions of color, a lot of similar to the downloads I get now, where it's this massive rush of geometrical patterns, all in these incredible, vivid neon colors. But it comes at me so fast that it's almost impossible to describe. It's all these beautiful sacred geometries, but that's what I was seeing during that time. And of course, I was in tears. And what I realized once I really started digging deep into the language itself, because I'm the type of person, I have to know everything. I've always wanted it. And it's never, you know, my thirst for knowledge has never let up at all. So I really went headlong into it, trying to figure out and learn as much about it as possible. And what I have found out is probably the most profound thing that I have ever been experienced in my life.
John, are you still there?
Oh, yes. Did you lose me?
We did a little bit.
Okay, yeah. But anyway, so the learning, what that has done is it's brought me to a profound understanding of my true purpose in life, my abilities, and how they interact with others who are on the same path as I am. That's probably the best way to describe it, I think.
Well, beautiful. And I'd love to come back and explore that a little bit further. I'm going to pop over to Lori just for a second. Lori, would you share a little bit about your journey and your background and what transpired as you became more connected to the light language itself?
So, unlike John, I wasn't particularly, quote unquote, awake. I've always, and you'll hear these terms a lot with some of the older starseeds, very much the black sheep of the family, very out of place, weird, odd. The books I read were not the same. The things that I felt really emotional about were different. I was very much into all kinds, you know, Star Trek was my most favorite show when I was a child, and my mother absolutely abhors anything science fiction, which just says a lot about. It was a challenging childhood. So, but I was always very, very interested in so many things. I have always touched trees. I have always known that those trees have personalities. They're beings. Of course, back in the, you know, back then, I was, you know, the tree hugger, the weird tree hugger. But I knew. I have always known. But it wasn't until a year and a half ago when my partner passed away very, very suddenly that was my, as you and I have coined, my galactic baseball bat across the head moment. And, you know, hindsight, now that it's passed, I clearly now understand that him and I had an agreement that I would show on this timeline, this life, I would show him what unconditional love looked like, and once I did my job, he could go and then continue his work multidimensionally, interdimensionally, and I could continue my work that is what I'm doing now, which is showing others what it looks like, because most people have no idea what it looks like to not only feel love unconditionally, but actually be love unconditionally, to the point that I remember years ago saying, you know, having an argument with my mom, sort of argument, saying that loving unconditionally was really the whole point. And my own mother saying, that's not possible. That's not really real. That really can't happen. Everything has a judgment. Everything has a label. everything has a reason for why you do it. And I knew at that, I was in my late 30s when she said that. And I knew then that I clearly was not, I love her deeply, and I always will, but I clearly was not of that belief system. So I just, you go through the process of saying, okay, you are my blood mother. I love you. I will always care for her, but that is not me. And so for the last year and a half, Justin died in June. I made it to the ranch actually in July just for a one-day visit. And your lovely husband hugged me that day. I didn't see you, but I saw James. But Joseph took us for a little walk around the ranch, and he hugged me. And between his hug and my bare feet on the ground, I knew right away that this is where I was supposed to be. So I managed to, I'm in massive amounts of grief, just a hot mess. But I knew enough that I ended up coming to a workshop. I pulled myself together enough in October of that year and ended up coming to the first workshop with Tashina. And then the story just goes from there.
Well, that's what I love about having you both on the air is, John, like many who are listening, had pretty much full awareness or a lot of awareness during his youth. And Lori, you went through a 3D journey and then kind of accelerated in the last year and a half. So that allows, a lot of our listeners to feel a familiarity with either one or another of your story. So, Lori, your work with or your interaction with John began to accelerate about when?
So he called in July, and then I didn't hear another word. I stumbled upon the video because him and Sol did an interview. I had no knowledge of it. I stumbled upon it maybe, and sorry, but time is really challenging. But I think it was like September I saw the video. I hadn't spoken to John again. I hadn't even spoken to Sarita again. I just stumbled upon the video. And I watched it, and there's a point in the video where they both start speaking to each other. And it was so intense. I had to turn the video off, and I was sobbing so uncontrollably that the house where I was living, there was a family that I was living with, somebody came downstairs to find out if I was okay. It was so intense. John, you're going to have to help me because I don't remember. It wasn't soon after that, or much soon after that, that we ended up actually finally speaking. Do you remember?
It's kind of odd that I don't exactly remember. It's because we've become so close, it just seems like we've always been this way and that we've never not been this way. So
exactly.
I don't know. It's kind of strange to even ask that question.
Well, I think that's one of the things when Star Family comes together, right? It's like within an instant, you've known each other forever. So although you're just reuniting perhaps in the physical, in this now moment, it goes back for quite a ways. Lori, when did you actually have an activation with John?
So there's been multiple levels of activations with John. Once I heard John and I had heard Sol speak light language, of course you go on the YouTube and you want to listen to a bunch. And I think it's important that people understand that just like with anything in your life, you will resonate with some and not with others. And Sol was probably the first person I ever heard. And I totally resonate with her. Not a but because it's Sol, but a but because there's something for me. Well, I know what it is now. John and I are very deeply connected. And so every time John speaks, every single time John speaks to me, big things happen within my life. And it's all layers, and every time I'll go back and listen to old ones and new rememberings will come. It's been this very beautiful but intensely quick climb up the ladder of ascension. And there's been many people that have helped me go through this, but John's language for me has been very intense. And yes, there's, but the activation wasn't like this big kaboom one-time shot. It's been a slow progression of many amazing things. That the more him and I spend time talking, the more I seem to be shifting and changing, and speaking and spending time with you and James and Joseph as well. It's like this family. We're all just weaving our lives and supporting and lifting each other up. And it comes at different times, and it's all just this beautiful dance. And you know that that's who you're supposed to be with when it's just perfectly uplifting. And when one needs the other, you're there, and vice versa. When you're having a down moment and you're needing somebody to lift you up, then you know who to call. Like, that's the ultimate multidimensional family. And we Absolutely. Have no blood relation. No blood relation whatsoever.
Just soul genetics. So, John, yeah. I love your intro bio, a professional drummer and an awakened light language activator. Do you ever do them together at the same time?
Interesting. Well, you should ask that question. It wasn't actually by choice. I've had some dark entities come into the room when I've been playing drums. Actually, I counted. It was 5 different times. Mm. I don't know, something about having my guard down while I'm being creative. They wanted to come and attach at that time. And so I would come out from behind the kit using light language quite aggressively. And it's very effective. It's an incredible focus and of intent and light energy. And the dark entities do not like that at all. It's wonderful.
It's powerful. So if someone was going to ask you what a light language activator is, I know language is limiting, but how would you describe it?
Well, I think it's important to understand what a light language is in the first place. It's not simply a spoken language. It's actually a multidimensional language that it speaks to the universe hears, and the universe returns the energy. So people ask, what did you say? Well, yes, you can do a translation on the 3D level, but that is such a superficial explanation to what is expressed during an activation, a blessing, a healing, whatever. The language itself has some physical characteristics where it actually stimulates the roof of the mouth and the back of the throat, which in turn stimulate pineal gland, and we know what happens then. And so there's that physical interface. And then when you really focus your intent, it's just amazing. So as I use it for myself, it allows me to access higher thought instantly rather than have to go into a longer process of meditation to reach that point. That's what it's really done for me personally. So when I'm doing an activation, what is it? It's a series of light codes that if somebody approaches me and asks me for a light activation, then prior to incarnating this life, they have arranged with me to deliver that pattern or series of energies back to them for their ascension and to be used at that particular junction in their journey. So I'm actually just a messenger. I like to point it that I am handing you a letter that you wrote to yourself.
But it's just,
but it's in the form of light. And because we are all vibration, sound, light is vibration, everything's vibration, it's just another expression, a beautiful, universal, multidimensional expression of energy and intent and love. And it's completely changed my life and many, many, many others.
And many other lives, absolutely. Do you do any type of a clearing before you begin, John? Is that automatic for you now? For those that are listening who perhaps may have had activity in their throat when they're meditating, are still not quite sure what might be happening for them, do you have a preparation you do, or is it automatic for you now?
For me to do it, it is automatic as far as being able to speech and use the speech and express. But as far as clearings are concerned, absolutely. Anything to you know, I equate clearings to kind of like brushing your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to do it or you build up the plaque, you know. I coined a friend of mine said that. I thought it was funny. But yeah, the clearings are really important, and they also pave the way for you to be in the position or the state of receiving these codes. So they, like Lori said, they are layered, and you make, like Natoma are another close relation that we'll talk about. He recently got activated, I think maybe 6 weeks ago, through listening to all the activations that I have set him. And he, being a gatekeeper, has over 25 dialects now.
Mm.
And it's knowing. It's like once you start to speak, it doesn't matter if you've known you have the knowing 10 years ago or 10 seconds ago. It's the same. It's knowing. So once you're into that, you access that part of you, and I do believe it's inherent in all of us that we do have these divine languages. That I have probably about 8 different dialects myself, and I think it's just an amazing thing. I'm having a hard time verbalizing it, but the expression of the love and the energy that is exchanged between the souls when these languages are exchanged, it's just something that, I don't know, it defies description. It's just so beautiful.
Was it natural for you to easily go beyond the mental body questioning it? I know that when I'm doing a lot of counseling with people that have sessions and things, you know, the mental body is such an interesting character. So for those that are listening who perhaps are questioning what's happening for them, what would you share as advice?
The first and foremost is to quiet your ego and intellect. And, you know, and I mean, that applies to pretty much everything we're doing in a sense, I guess. But
exactly.
Yeah, that's the biggest obstacle, because your ego will sit there and say, it's just gibberish. This is foolish. I don't understand what you're saying, so how could it be anything real? But in turn, it's actually so much more real than the mind games your ego will give you. The echoes of these statements that are made in these languages are heard throughout all creation. And it's just, well, why don't we try something here for a minute?
I was going to ask you.
When I ask somebody who has never heard this before, or maybe just a couple of times, the simplest thing I say is, I know this sounds really silly, but try not to listen. Try just to feel it. And so then again, quieting the ego and intellect. So this, I'm going to make a statement based on a particular intent, and I'm just going to see if any of you pick up on what that intent is, okay? Diatot kohamatisha sha aze lahananokwa pokieta de miakete teshoazwa ko alwa yapi ditetukwa kiakana mama atetete shashasa swa alwakwe mamwa titi lahananonoa ko kwayame.
Can I share what I got?
Yes, sorry, my throat was like going, shroom, so I had a hard time talking. Please share, Lori.
And again, everyone resonates in a different way. And the immediate, I get a movie and I get a story with John. The movie, and it happens a lot for me, is I'm standing on this cliff. And I'm the warrior that I am, with my shield and my sword. And I'm hearing John saying, the words were, we are all warriors of love and light. We all have a job to assist this beautiful planet in her ascension. And we will ascend with her. But, and warrior is such a, that's a, I'm challenged with that word because it has a connotation, but this is I will fight to the death to make sure that this planet does, you know, I will assist in the best way I can and to help others to do that.
So my throat was busy kind of buzzing, and the same thing happened when I was watching you and Slorita. So for me, what it felt like in my body, and I'm more empathic, I feel more than I see, it felt like a calling out to the greater family and a encouragement within the listeners to remember more of who they are, but on a deeper level than that sounds in 3D language. And an invitation to really be authentically who you are and hold that frequency.
That was spot on as far as my intent.
Beautiful.
That was spot on. Yeah, that's exactly what it was, encouragement, be true to yourself, so forth. Yeah, slight paraphrasing, but you're right on.
And so that's the beauty, I think, of light language. And it's also the beauty of feeling into it or seeing what you see and trusting. And I know for many people, that's a leap of faith, or at least it was for me, right? I'm always very honest on this show or when I talk to people, is that I still question myself. You know, I still question myself. And so the beauty of having that safe space to share without feeling like you're going to be judged is a very powerful space. And I think that's part of what your We Speak Unity community does. Is that correct? You guys want to both talk about that community a little bit?
Well, that's just a small fraction of it. What's actually grown and created itself is something we have called the Unity Light Activation Group.
Uh-huh.
And interesting enough, is this is a series of synchronicities. I went, my friend Don Daniels, he's a UFO investigator, author, doing a presentation. I met some folks in the lobby afterwards who we resonated with. I spoke a little language for them. And I went to meet this particular quantum healer by the name of Sherry Peterson. She's certified under Dolores Cannon. Mm-hmm. There was another quantum healer with the same certification by the name of Debbie Lundquist there, and also Candace O'Brien, who is an intuitive life coach. And we ended up having this cool, amazing meeting. I spoke tongue, and it just created this little group, and we were inspired to have a group meeting. Sherry runs this full moon meditation group. We kind of joined it, and we brought the whole Zoom idea in so we could have some online participants, and the first meeting was absolutely phenomenal. We had, you know, I don't know, it was maybe 15 people in the room and 10 people online for the first meeting. Then we had the second meeting, which was absolutely phenomenal. We had over 25, 27 people in the room and 15 online, and several star seeds got to speak light language, and it was profound. The power in that room was electric. Then the coolest thing about it was Jan DeSanti, who was another beautifully gifted starseed, and she speaks her own dialect. She ran a little segment of our group where there was over 20 people in the circle, and all of them, I think except maybe one of them, all spoke light language for the first time. And several of them, I mean, it was amazing to hear all that, the whole room light up with all these people speaking their own dialects. And it was so powerful. Jan and I jumped up and ran to the middle of the room and gave each other a hug. We were so excited. And it was powerful. And everybody smiled. I mean, the energy. And I tell you, every hair on my body was standing up. And it was just, and so that's inspired this Unity Light Activation Group. The group, it's a Facebook group, and it's only like 3 weeks old. It already has 168 members, and almost there's so many practitioners in there of such varying modalities. It's amazing. We have radio show hosts. We have researchers. Everything. These people are all kindred souls by the heart. And so that has also inspired us to create something called the Unity Light Discussion Group, which is an online group that we can talk about certain subjects. Everybody comes together prior to the discussion date and adds what they would like to discuss. We pick like three or four subjects, and that will be the subject matter of that particular meeting. And so that gives a platform to other people that really want to share and have questions, and whatever we can all do to really assist and help and serve each other. That's really the primary goal of the Unity Light Activation Group.
And that's an open Facebook group?
It's an open Facebook group. I left it open intentionally, so it's accessible. The other thing, too, which is really interesting, is there's so many people that are that I'm very close to in that group are actually coming up to the ranch this summer.
So it's amazing how that happens.
Yeah, we've got this big buzz, our group, and so many other people that are wanting to become part of this. It really has taken on a life of its own. It's a completely unique way of interacting because it is based truly on Unity. There's no boss. Nobody wants to be the boss. Mm. You know, it's a check your ego at the door thing. It's all about being understanding, supportive, encouraging. Give people a platform. I was isolated for years and couldn't talk about these things to anyone. And then once I made that fateful phone call and I had that interview, Soleta lit a candle under me and really said, you really got to share this stuff. So, and then Spirit was so loud, get on Facebook. And my joke, too, is I wouldn't go on Facebook with a gun to my head. And here I'm all over it now, Mm. And then also create the YouTube channel as well. But more importantly, I mean, the YouTube channel is definitely a facet of the whole Unity thing. But the group itself, the core, those people, I am so proud and humbled by the incredible gifts they all share and the love they've given me and share to each other. It's something I get very emotional when I talk about it. It's that powerful.
I'd like to talk for a moment about that emotion. I love watching your interview with Sol and your genuineness, right? And your willingness to allow your emotions, not allow, it's not even the right word, for your emotions to flow through you. You talk a little bit about being a twin. Do you want to talk to that as you're drawn to do
so? Okay, the twin flame. I have a twin flame who is, let's put it this way. She's half of my incarnation. We split and incarnated, and I hold the divine feminine aspect of it, and she holds the divine masculine aspect of it. Mm. And what that's done is that has given me much heightened empathy to allow me to do the work that I do now when I work with people, or, I try to help people in whatever way I can. And a lot of it is in the spiritual field, but some of it is straight up just, hey, I had this experience. If I can share this with you, maybe it'll help you. But the emotion and being a twin, what does that mean? I think it makes you very much on the heightened end of things, being a twin flame, as far as emotion is concerned. It allows you to express and also receive emotion at profound levels. Mm-hmm. But it also, until you do your purging, it's very painful at times. You're feeling, I like to say that my dark night of the souls was about 2 years long. It was quite a purging process, and I remember sitting and passing some of those words like, whew, wow, was that one old? Well, how many lifetimes back was that? But the twin thing, I haven't really focused on that energy as far as I have such a connection with my twin flame that we can go 10 years, pick up the phone, and the conversation will pick right up right where the conversation left off on that exact word. It's a soul connection, but it's deeper than a soul connection.
Well, because there hasn't really been 10 years that have gone by because you're communicating on the other realms.
Right. Exactly.
Dream, you know, dream, so dream it's kind of funny, people I have to forget that not everybody realizes that although I haven't picked up the phone, we're still communicating. You know, we're still, so I don't feel like there's been separation because there is no separation, but it's quite an interesting journey. I just love the fact when you were sharing it, you know, about how you allow the emotions to come up, and when you're speaking the light language because of that frequency, the emotions that come up, that, and it's a love that's hard to put into words for me. It's such a multidimensional frequency experience that attempting for me to put it in words is like compacting it, something down that cannot even fit in the room into the size of a dime. So
yeah, it's like I like to look at it like we're trying to put a physical tag on a metaphysical occurrence, which is, it doesn't work.
Lori, I want to ask you about the emotions, because I know you've been going through that too, and then I want to have time. We've got about a little over 10 minutes left, but you mentioned somebody named Nicoma. I want to come back and revisit that, but Lori, you want to, and then do some more light language before we close. But Lori, do you want to share a little bit about the emotions for you and how that's been expressing?
So, I mean, I do define myself, which is sort of stupid, but I am extremely empathic, as you are. And so when there's a heightened emotion, for me now, I mean, obviously after Justin passed away, a lot of my emotion was purging, pain, grief, just a massive levels of loss. But then that very quickly shifted to, as I woke up and recognized who I truly was and began to remember this multidimensional person, I cry a lot. And, you know, people kind of, you know, they kind of tease me about it. But that those tears, the emotion is so intense of love, of remembering. And I always write it re, because I teach second grade. So it's all about suffixes and prefixes. So the prefix re means to member, to become a member again. Remember is returning to your membership that you never were not a member of, but now you're just going back to it at some cognitive level. I cry a lot. I'll touch a tree and I'll start crying because the tree will now, the tree that's in the parking lot has the big old grumpy lion being face on it. And one day he's all grumpy because people have dumped a bunch of garbage. Like, I know it sounds good. People dump garbage at the bottom of this tree. And then the next day it's beautiful and the woodpeckers are pecking at him, and I'll look up and I'll just start crying because him and I have this connection, and the emotions are so intense, but it's a beautiful thing. It's not sadness in any stretch of the imagination. Sometimes it is. You know, if you and I had, I'll never forget, super quick, the first October that I was there, we were walking the medicine wheel, and you were doing the introduction, and you started speaking to the planet and the emotions, and you're sobbing and I'm sobbing. My hands are on the ground, feeling her pain of being fracked, feeling her pain of being drilled, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's very intense being a starseed, but it really is amazing. I wouldn't change it for anything, even though I cry a lot.
Absolutely. I'd like to segue, before we go to Nicoma, talking about both of you have inner earth connections, and we've been experiencing more inner earth activity here. Can you touch briefly, Lori, on what's happening for you, and then we'll go to John on the inner earth connection?
So, unlike John, I've started meditating daily. Super quick visualization in the middle of this 29-minute guided meditation was, I'm swimming with a mer woman. I can't even say the name because it's a language that I'm not able to articulate. I have seen so clearly inner earth because we're under the ocean swimming. I've also met a horse with wings, Baha'i. I have walked through caverns, crystalline caverns, into these cities of just breathtaking beauty and met many people, not people. Yeah, like the inner earth. The inner earth was not a topic when I first started this walk a year and a half ago. You brought it up as a medicine wheel because they became comfortable enough with the frequency at the ranch to speak. And ever since then, holy moly, they're everywhere. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And John, for you with the inner earth connection?
Well, there's an outer earth connection that goes along with it. Lori and Nicoma and myself all share some lineage as well, which is angelic lineage. Mm. We each hold different aspects of different archangels, and Lori happens to hold aspects of Zadkiel. Nicoma holds aspects of Raphael, and I hold aspects of Michael. When I go into the inner earth, Michael has given me a series of crystals. They're these blue crystals that shine in at that blue energy that is the essence of Michael. And when I've gone into the inner earth, I go into these massive caverns in my light body, and there I was surrounded by these very dark beings, and I would just power up, and they wouldn't be able to come anywhere near me, and I would walk up and hand this particular crystal to the leader of these dark beings, and what it was is a series of energies contained in that crystal, which allowed them to make the choice to choose to go back to the light. And I've been called several times into these different areas in the inner earth. I've gone down into large dome-type structures where they're like a creamy white wall-type thing, which are almost translucent, where there's, I mean, it's the types of beings down there, it's infinite. It's at least as abundant as the outer earth. And I think that's part of my main objective is helping those beings. But the other side of the objective that why I'm here is to encourage and help and activate on the 3D side as well. So there's a balance that goes on.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And is there more about Nicoma that you wanted to share? You mentioned Nicoma earlier.
Nicoma is a gatekeeper. He's one of the most spiritual people I know. We had an immediate connection. We chat on Messenger every day. You know, we're brothers. And his light activations are incredible. And we have actually been called upon to do joint activations. So when someone would ask us, I would send one and he would send one, and it gets two of them combined. Again, it's a unity activation, and it became really, really powerful. And in addition to his activation abilities, I mean, you should see the videos that he has on Facebook. His bedroom looks like it's snowing in there because there's so many orbs. And he's speaking his different dialects, and he just recently began writing and some of that, because my primary lineage is angelic, and then Pleiadian, and then a series of other ones, where his is angelic and then Arcturian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting, but we're all, you know, and I love to put it this way, and I will repeat this until the heavens, you know, until we are indeed in the heavens themselves, is we all hold a piece of the puzzle that creates the divine masterpiece.
Absolutely. I look forward to you listening to Joseph, my heart partner. He has this very ancient elder that comes through. It's a lot of clicking. It's not mantis. It's really quite powerful. So if all flows as it appears to be flowing, we will be seeing you out at the ranch fairly soon. Is that still in the works?
You can't get me away.
All right. So I do want to share, I'm going to ask John, but I already know the answer because I asked him on the other realms. So John is actually going to be part of our conference in July.
That's right.
And we'll also, during the weekends, just as we all do different things, and Lori's going to begin doing sharing, we'll also be inviting John to share some of the light language on the weekends when he's here as well. So we are coming up to the top of the hour. I wish we had another hour or so to speak more and to talk more. I do want to just make sure that the Unity Light Activation Group, that's a Facebook page, correct?
Correct.
And the We Speak Unity community, that's the YouTube that went out on the eSETI newsletter. So, John, how would you like to close out by doing some more light language?
I would like to do a blessing and a prayer. And if we can join our intent to support each other, encourage each other, accept each other, forgive ourselves, which allows us to forgive others. And then from there, let's go to really send as much love and healing to all in need. Ma tutto ta habete ti chese la tutto che ti ha chiama a chi doa ta che si sa ze pue la tata haina ma a lo tutto qua che chi se se sa peti ana no de tena no no pue te chi ha ti qua hello what to to cushi se zi lo tutto bebe ma ca la tutto qua pue hi ana na mai la tutto si se pu chi la ca la ca ta qua la mi la ti la hana no meke. My love, my support, my encouragement to all.
Aho. Tishta kanai to maishta taunai takatashi na hohita iko nana naishto maikata naishto konaita ikanahi atoshti takamana ita toishta kanahi kokotika na maishta.
I love it. Thank you.
Wow.
Wow, it's right.
That's a first. Holy
it's
going
to be fun for all of us to be together. All of you that are listening, come on out to the party. It looks like we've got a few more minutes. Lori, is there anything you'd like to share?
I've had such a strong sense of this summer being, there's some very important work that's going to happen this summer. Mm-hmm. And the people that will come, it will be perfect. But there will be intentions set, purposefully intentions. Speaking as a unity group, we will be doing work. I'm so excited to be with the people that are there. Holy moly, this is, again, it's so hard to put words to it. There's this sense of knowing. I know what I know.
Well, I echo exactly everything you say, and I would like to put the energy into we're going to play a lot this summer.
Yes.
Cuz you know, I mean, you know, we have this new theme here, the drama is over, you know, no drama summer, and let's all play and co-create and weave the light and open hearts and just remember, right? And mm-hmm. I'm getting teary, sorry.
Well, and remember, Ezekiel keeps telling us to lighten up. Mm. Lighten up and start laughing more. I mean, laughter is absolutely the best medicine. Yeah, right? Lighten up.
Exactly.
Lighten up.
Woo! You can be from serious, but you don't have to be serious.
Exactly.
You can aim serious.
Definitely.
John, in closing, I think we've got one more minute. Was there anything else you'd like to share?
I've been following James' work for several years, and I've always wanted to go to the ranch. But over the past 6 months, I have had this profound calling. And I know you're one of the callings that I'm listening to and I have heard. The land is calling me, and several others that I am very close to are hearing that exact same call. We're going to do something really amazing, all of us together. Energetically, it's going to be fun. I just know it in my heart. I know it. So please come up and join us.
All right. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, John, from my heart to yours. Big hugs. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. And James will be back next week. Big blessings to all.